Providential provisions. Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4 and verse number 19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In the overall tone of this book, He is reassuring people, if you read from the first chapter right through the end, He is reassuring a people who are already extending themselves in giving to others. And to reassure them, He says, God shall supply all your need. Now that's very elastic, and there is no limit to that because it is according to His riches. And so we have a little bit of a glimpse into the providential provisions of God. For example, in the Old Testament, you have the statement in the first verse of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And literally, the force of that is, I will not lack for anything that He believes is needed. Nothing. We understand here in this 19th verse, again, that God shall supply all your need. As you give, God gives. Now there is a place, if you'll keep your spot here, in Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter, when He says He will supply all your need, in Matthew 6, at verse 9, in the context of the Lord's Prayer, so-called, or the God's Kingdom Prayer, be it as you wish, the 9th verse says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. No one but God's people, probably nobody more than God's people, joyfully anticipate the coming kingdom. We do not, and by sound biblical reason, we do not anticipate the tribulation period. That's not going to be a part of our history. But we do and can anticipate the blessings of kingdom living. And so the prayer is offered with that in mind. And of course that kingdom living is we're given a glimpse of what that will be like when He says, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven, currently, but not necessarily is His will done on earth. Men seem to be able to find creative ways to subvert that and to twist that, and yet God will have His way. He will ultimately have His way. For example, consider these needs in the 11th verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Now, keep in mind with the overarching idea of the kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. The 12th verse talks about forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There is a connective there, as we forgive. There is in the 13th verse, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Then it comes down into the bottom part of this chapter at verse number 25 concerning these needs. God shall supply all your needs. Here you have in the 25th verse, I say, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Listen, a lot of people really wax out over those three items. They excess more than you and I can imagine. What you can eat, what you drink, what you put on. In the reasoning that the Lord puts on here is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Life itself? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, depending on how you answer that question, will determine whether or not you gain any blessing or assurance from the passage, especially when you take it right down to the end of the chapter, where He says, therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Now, again, it comes back to how you answer that question, or anybody answers that question. Are you not worth more than the birds? Okay, that may be in some people's mind an open question, but in the creative order, I got to say that a whole lot more than a bird. But then we come back to Philippians, where we have some things to look at with regard to at least a couple of things. One is when he says that he will supply all of your need according to his riches, there is to be considered the insufficiency of man. Like, for example, at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, the verse simply says there, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Having all sufficiency in all things. When you think about the insufficiency, I mean, the word need in Philippians 4:19 suggests that men have needs. One of the things that we're going to be hopefully talking about, and I would hope you pray for me during the course of this week. I've been digging into several places in Scripture, theologically and thematically, planning for this Lord's Day coming. And as much as my ACE adult teacher is going to be vacationing somewhere. So as I step in, I just ask that you pray, because one of the things that God's laid on my heart over the past year is seeing a crisis and turning that crisis into an opportunity, particularly in our county, the things that affect our churches. And when I mentally think through our church families, there's probably not one person, not one family, I might be wrong about this, that he's either not directly or indirectly connected with someone who is addicted to something that is destructive. And so on Sunday morning, Lord willing, and he has to be, because I'm not, but if the Lord's willing on Sunday morning, we're going to be dealing with needs. And we will find as an eye-opener that when God created man, he did create him with needs and desires that are acceptable, approved by him. When man sinned and he fell from the good grace of God, he still retained those needs and desires, but they became perverted. And the emphasis on satisfaction turned inward instead of upward. That lays the foundation for a whole understanding of taking the crisis that we have in our community, which essentially is across the nation, but in our communities, what we're concerned about is taking that crisis and turning it into an opportunity, or making a pathway to ministry into the life of one person. And if you can glean, as I have in my study of this subject, just one thing that you might use to help, then it'll be well worth your time. So I would ask that you pray about that, and then also that you would, between now and the Lord's Day, take your Bibles and open them up and read the book of Romans through all 16 chapters at one sitting. At one sitting. Do that twice, if God is willing, and if He leads on Sunday, then we are going to begin to unpackage the book of Romans for the foreseeable future. So, again, the Lord must be willing and He must lead, because I'm not willing and I'm not about to lead. So how that turns out, it turns out. Just pray toward that end. So we come back to this matter of need in Philippians 4:19. And we see there in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And the bottom line is that there is a sufficiency. God is, in and of Himself, sufficient for your every need, is the full sense of that. And in Paul right here in this same chapter, if you'll look at the 11th and 12th verses, touches upon that again. He says, not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know, here's in his own testimony, he says, I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. I know how to in everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer, last word in the verse, suffer need. I've learned to be content, he said. Where man is insufficient in this endeavor, God is the sufficiency for the insufficiency of man. As a matter of fact, whenever you think of the inner man's capacity, the second thing here, we find that the 13th verse is pretty clear. The inner man's capacity says, I can do all things. That's what Paul's testimony was. Now think about all the things he could do. Just think about all the things that Paul could do by his own testimony. We know that he could swim. Yeah? We know that he could run. He can run. He was able to run. And we know that when he wasn't able to run, he could hide with the best of them. When we also know that some other things he could do was to take a good beating. You know, thrice was I beaten with rods. I don't know how many times more on different things. We knew that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. On the other side of that coin, the things that he was able to accomplish, he did not ever claim for himself that capacity. He always deferred to the supply of the strength to do that. When he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 16, he talked about the strengthening with might by the Spirit in the inner man. You know, the inner man, if you're wondering for a simple or reasonable grasp of that, it is what makes you tick that is controllable only by the Spirit. The inner man is something that nobody can see, the inner operations of it, but it is that which the Spirit works in you. And so he said, I can do all things through Christ. And so then, let two things be known here. In Philippians 4, verse number 5, the first of which, let two things be known. First of all, let your moderation be known unto, and emphasize the word, all men. Let your moderation is a word that is only used 4, maybe 5 times in the New Testament, one of which is translated in 1 Timothy 3:3 as the word patience, or gentleness in Titus 3, verse 3, okay? So let your moderation be known unto all men. If men are to know anything about you, may they know that about you. Your gentleness, your patience. Men benefit from that when they rub shoulders with you. Then there's the second thing. In verses 6 and 7, the second thing that men should know, be careful for nothing or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that's very important. If I have an issue, a need, the first person that should not hear about it is another human being. Okay? Because then there's a tendency to rely on the human side rather than the divine. So let your requests be made known unto God. And then we have the assuring thing here that in the aftermath of that, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I want you to just mark with me something. I don't know if you see this much. I guess I'm hypersensitive about that. Some people would say I'm hypersensitive about a lot of stuff. I'm too old to change now. This old dog has been biting on that bone for too many years to get my teeth used to something else. But one of the things that I see that nearly nauseates me is the shameful begging by Christian people for their needs to men. I find that repugnant. I keep thinking back to the great prayer guy, George Mueller. You know, when I think of Mueller and Spurgeon and Moody, you know one of the things those guys, all three, had in common? They all had an awesome love for children to the extent that they founded orphanages. Not a cheap thing to operate. But when I think about old Mueller, just like Moody, those guys let their requests be made known unto God and never told another human being about it, on the premise that if God ordained the work, He would enable its supply. And the man found out for years in operating that ministry, that orphanage to children, that every time there was a need, it was on the doorstep. And the only person that knew about it was him and God. I find an old antidote that Spurgeon mentioned about his orphanage. He related that they were in dire need for food in the orphanage. And one day a merchant, a salesman at the market, stopped Mr. Spurgeon in the marketplace, and he said, now you may not find this appetizing. Okay. He said, here are 6 dozen bunches of turnips. I think I've eaten a turnip once in my life. I can't even identify. Here are six dozen bunches of turnips for the orphans. He says, and I hope someone else will supply the mutton. I'm assuming that the two go together. Okay. But turnips and mutton seem to me, if they're edible, they're better than nothing. And so when he arrived at the orphanage, back from the market, turnips in hand, there was a farmer waiting with a sheep that he had fattened. He killed it. He dressed it for the orphanage. And some would say, well, that was a coincidence. Somehow the merchant got on the phone and called the farmer and said, hey, I'll do this if you do this. Except that there was no internet or telephone lines in the day. He just, as the secularists would say, he just happened to be there. What a coincidence this was. I see it, providential provision. And so he concluded that God had ordered the meal, for the father of the fatherless, by the promptings of his Spirit, can command the simplest agencies to provide for his own when his own need them. Had the salesman or the merchant withheld the turnips and the farmer brought the mutton, or had the farmer sold the sheep and the merchant gave the turnips, the meal would have been incomplete. But he writes, but my God shall, emphasis the word shall, supply all your need, absent the shameful beggary. I mean, God, the scriptures, I do think somewhere in the Bible say that Jesus loves the children, yes? And he finishes with this, nothing with God is accidental or coincidental. The steps of providence are often only comprehended as we look back on them. Every occasion in our history where God has providentially provided us should serve as a mile marker, a memory maker of God's goodness in his overriding, overarching providence in the care of his people. My God, the scriptures teach us, shall supply all your need. Now, he may use people, as is the case here. And I'm not out to say without exception that the begging, probably on rare exceptions, may be productive, but I think too much of that goes on, and then it's all elevated to a place of God's will has been answered. A great piousity is shrouded over that which human minds and human energy concocts. May it not be so. Our dear Father and our God, as we come to prayer tonight, we ask for your blessing, not only to hear, but to spur the request that we might make. And then, Lord, by faith, help us to be ever diligent to watch for the answers as they come. Help us not to forget what we ask for any more than you do. Help us for Jesus' sake. Amen.